What's up, team, and welcome back to What the F45 podcast. And today we are covering supplementation. We go over our pre-workout routine and which supplements are actually effective and worth your time and money. And then we also dig into our daily routine with longevity and health supplements that we know are proven to be very beneficial. Disclaimer, we are not medical doctors or naturopaths, so please, before you start any new supplementation, have your blood work done and talk to your healthcare practitioner.
All right, what's up, guys? Sorry we missed you for a week there, but we're going to catch up with a few podcasts in a few days to make sure we're staying on cadence. But after all, it was a long weekend, and summer is coming to a close, tier tier. Thank God for us health enthusiasts, so we can stop having fun and get to work.
Yeah, I've been saying this a lot, but it's been a very eventful summer, and I'm not complaining whatsoever. It was nice to have last weekend to not have an event to go to, but it's been great. It's something every single weekend.
Hey, look, I mean, you know, during COVID, all we wanted was to do these things, so embrace them, take them in, live it up. But like we always say, counterbalance, right? So now let's dial it up. It's September, time to get very productive. I'm sure many of you, if you're listening to this, you have productivity goals. That's part and parcel with being interested in a health-related podcast. And so with that, what are we talking about today? We're talking about supplementation. So we're loving this. Ask us a question in the studio, and then we will talk about it ad nauseum. And this is a great one, because I think there's a lot of misconceptions here, and people are very interested in what to take, what we specifically take, what we've taken consistently, what we're experimenting with. So yeah, we're going to talk about what we take before workouts, what we take before bed, what we take after workouts, why we do those things, based on different activities we're doing, be it cardiovascular related or sport related or lifting related. How does that routine vary and why? So we'll jump into all those things today, maybe even some pitfalls and common misconceptions.
Yeah, that sounds great.
All right. So let's get into it. So what I take before my workout. So firstly, it depends. It depends, you know, let's use F45 as the proxy.
I knew you were going to say that word.
Yeah, apparently it's the word of the month for me. You know, it's a funny thing about that word is that I heard it used in business so often, and I swear I had to look up in the dictionary. We don't have dictionaries anymore, but online. So many times, what does that mean? What does that mean? How to use it? Now I get it, but it took me a while.
Let's define that for the listeners.
Yeah, proxy. I mean, it, you know, as a... Now I can't define it. Essentially, you know, if I want to use something as an example for something else, right?
Right.
Bo is like a proxy for our child, right? For how we're going to be as parents. We're using her. If the way we treat Bo, you know, as a proxy of, you know, how we're going to parent, I guess. I don't know. Anyways, yeah. Everyone, we just lost the whole audience. So and all the English majors out there are saying, what are you guys talking about?
Oh,
just get to the stuff you know.
Yeah, seriously.
Prismatic. That was another word that we got into a couple weeks ago that was interesting.
Word, yeah.
It was debated. Is that a real word? And it is. It is. Prismatic is a word. What does it mean?
Some sort of multifaceted, when something looks like from all the angles is kind of more colorful, but then when you actually look at it, it looks like one color. So kind of like how when you think of the prism, like in Pink Floyd, and then the light shoots through it and it's got the rainbow, multifaceted color.
Everyone knows that album cover, right? Pink Floyd.
Yeah.
The 20-year-olds are like, huh? Who's that? Anyhow, so yeah, what I take between before an F45 workout really depends if it's a strength workout or a cardio workout, right? So let's start with strength. So for me, what I take before a strength workout is a caffeine tablet. So definitely I take that about 30 minutes before. Why do I take a caffeine tablet? Well, for a few reasons. Number one, compared with a coffee, I know the exact dosage that I'm getting. Typical caffeine tablets, the ones we get from Canadian Protein. By the way, this stuff is perfectly legal. Of course it is. It's in your coffee. But it's about 120 milligrams of caffeine. And when you have a consistent dosage of caffeine, you can rely on the response that you're going to get, just how you're going to feel, but hopefully also how you're going to perform. Now, what's interesting about caffeine is when you hear that, you think, wow, like, is that for, like, that's going to give me the jitters. Why would it be for strength, not cardio? Because what we're doing with the caffeine is we're actually potentiating the system. We're waking up the nervous system. And if you remember, muscular contractions is really a conversation before you ask your body to do something, and at the speed of light or faster than light, your body is sending a neuromuscular signal to that muscle, neuromuscular, that connection, to contract, to do something, right? To perform an action. And so when you're in an aroused state and you're potentiated, you're going to fire more of those neuromuscular connections, right? So the way that the nervous system fires, it's called an all or nothing contraction. And so once it hits a threshold, it just goes. But to get a stronger contraction, we want to fire more fibers at the same time, right? That's why as we kind of do strength training, as we go through a set and we get more fatigue, we recruit more fibers to generate more strength, because we need to call upon those fibers. So when we think about power and we think about strength, wouldn't it be great if we could have a greater capacity to activate those neuromuscular connections? And that's just what caffeine's proven to do. It is one of the most well-known well-studied strength training supplements. And so we will take it when we're getting serious about a lift and we want to be dialed in. Now, a lot of people will say, well, I have an espresso before I work out. Well, so do I. But even with any bean, you can never really be sure, even though we know generally that a blonde roast has more caffeine or should have more caffeine than a darker roast. Yeah. Ironically, I know that's shocking for some of you.
The stronger
shocking
the
to me.
Flavor, the least amount of caffeine.
That's right. Actually. Because I think what they brew it longer to get that stronger flavor.
Roast it longer.
Right, to get that dark roast.
Yeah.
So as it relates to caffeine, I want to know the dosage I'm getting. You know, if I think I'm getting 40, but I'm really getting 80, that's confusing. If I think I'm getting 40, but I'm really getting 2, I'm not getting the effect. So we use the tablets.
The average shot of espresso is around 80 milligrams, and the caffeine tablets are 250, I believe.
And I think a Starbucks Grande should be 140, but again, you don't know.
Yeah, so that's always something if you're really trying to dial in the amount that you're having, and if you really actually want to sort of study the effect on you, you want to know how much you're actually getting and see what you actually need. We took one once. I don't need them. That's for sure. My heart rate.
But you could benefit. You could probably benefit if you took them.
But I have an espresso lift. And I think that's enough for me. It gives me enough energy in the morning. And maybe I could take like a half. I think the one time I took a full one and my heart was racing and it wasn't so fun.
Right.
And that is a little bit of a segue before we go on to what the other things are.
We're not even going
to
go there yet. We're going to spend the time with caffeine, like another 20 minutes.
Here.
Settle
okay.
in.
So I remember a member coming in and telling me it was noon, and he was like, oh, you know what, my heart sort of I'm having palpitations, or it's flooding really fast. And I was like, oh yeah, like what's going on? He's like, so I had a coffee this morning and I had another one, and he was working all day.
Typical
and he didn't
Canadian
eat.
Businessman.
Yeah, didn't eat, working all day, and had another coffee. And then he decided before the workout, because he's like, man, I don't know how I'm going to have the energy to do this workout. So he had a pre-workout, which pre-workouts are loaded with caffeine and sometimes too much. And it also depends on the person, right? So
right.
I'm not a big fan of, and I think a lot of people ask this question about pre-workouts, intra-workouts, what's the difference between those, and do I need them? And more often than not, we say no. Honestly,
well, it gets back to the question, what am I trying to achieve, right? So Andy, I think you hit on a really good point. So when we actually train our coaches in the studio, we always say, you know, this is a mod for this, a progression for that. This is how you do a clean and jerk. And, you know, obviously they come knowing a lot of this stuff, but there's certain ways we want stuff being taught and described. However, what trumps everything in the studio is safety. And like with supplementation, what trumps all the supplementation is, how do you feel? Because if I'm telling you that you're going to get a marginal 2% strength increase from taking caffeine, but your heart is racing and you're distracted, guess what?
Yeah.
That feeling has now trumped and destroyed your entire workout. What we're talking about here with supplementation are the margins. The big rocks are your diet, your sleep, your recovery.
Right.
These are ways that we're going to go find the extra percent or two.
Yeah. And like, that was the thing when I had that experience, when I took one, it was distracting and I wasn't able to focus on my workout. So that's not fun. That member actually didn't end up working out because he didn't feel good. And
right.
He was like sweating. He was like, yeah, obviously I feel awful. So I need to go home.
It's the same reason I don't slam a protein shake before a cardio workout. You know, maybe having the protein circulating in my blood and kind of impacting my nitrogen balance positively would be beneficial. But, you know, not at the expense of some sort of GI upset and things swishing around, right? So back to caffeine to sort of wrap this one up. What they found, and by the way, sorry, Andy, you could probably experiment. Someone like you having that response would want to start with like a quarter tablet, half tablet, not the full-on shebang.
Yeah, absolutely. And like I said, we don't really recommend taking any pre-workouts that are mixed. You know, so if you're finding something that's like All Out Extreme 2000. If it says anything crazy like that.
You're thinking Cartman, Beefcake.
Yeah. No, I'm thinking of anything that's sold at GNC, to be honest. I'm not a big fan of pretty much any product or supplement that
comes
from
there.
Stuff,
if it looks very markety, don't go for it.
All Max Nutrition, you know, and it's just, a lot of it is junk. They don't actually care about the ingredients. They understand that there is some efficacy towards the things that they're putting in there, but they also don't care about the stuff that is the filler stuff, or that you actually don't need a majority of that, and you're probably wasting a lot of money on it too. Like, think about flavoring and red food coloring and, you know, just other things that you really probably don't need.
Maltodextrin, yeah. So, yeah, good point, Sandy. So that's why we like Canadian Protein too, because when we buy supplements from them, usually it's pure form, like leucine, which we'll get into shortly. Mm-hmm. It's just leucine. It's not something that happens to have leucine, right? So to wrap up caffeine, what they found in the strength training literature, or the studies that they did, was that it was effective at creating a stronger neuromuscular connection, which allows you, if you're trying to go for that heavier weight, to get a better potentiation, and especially in the lower body relative to the upper body. So they really found, that like for those leg days. So if you're going in for a red diamond and it is, you know, today was lower body, you know, maybe you're experimenting with some caffeine beforehand. So that's that one. We'll wrap that one there. I guess the next one is creatine, which is something we've been taking consistently. And there's a lot of myths around creatine that are still floating out there and how to take it and cycling it. So, yeah.
I've actually been looking into and understanding that there are even more health benefits from it.
Yeah, these keep coming out.
Yeah. Besides what we already know, tried and true, it absolutely helps with muscle endurance. So taking it daily is absolutely going to help overall rather than taking it every once in a while. Sometimes they recommend a loading phase. I don't think this is necessary. I think that, again, you're splitting hairs. If you really want to load your body with creatine so you know you have enough for the first week and then you're just kind of maintaining this 5 gram dose beyond that, I think it's just like, just start and make it consistent. That's, as with anything, especially with supplements, they're only going to work if you're consistent, especially when we get into ones later on that we take for maybe health reasons as well as performance. So be consistent and make sure it is a part of your routine, and you may or may not feel the difference. And that's the funny thing about supplements sometimes.
Let me talk about creatine a little bit here. So guys, creatine is so we have three energy systems in our body. We have our creatine phosphate system. We have, which is a quick energy production. We have our glycolytic system, which doesn't require oxygen to produce energy. That sort of is the predominant energy system for activities that are lasting between 20 seconds to maybe a minute and a half. And of course, this is individually dependent. And then there's our slow oxidative system. It utilizes oxygen and body fat to produce energy. Really high yield, but it takes a long time to ramp up. So when one supplements with creatine, again, that's that first energy system. The creatine phosphate system is the energy system that is most active for short burst activities. So if you're doing a set of like 6 repetitions, if you're doing a sprint, if I'm jumping off the couch right now, my creatine phosphate system is going to be providing quick energy to me, but it can't sustain providing that energy for a long period of time. And this is where, from a strength training standpoint, and I would even argue a sport standpoint, depending on the sport you're playing, whether it's competitive diving or, you know, anything that is short burst, sprinting, having more creatine in your muscles is going to allow you to utilize that system for longer. So maybe you get an extra repetition or two, right? And so it actually makes you stronger. Now, the myth with creatine was that it bloats you. It causes subcutaneous water storage. And the reality is that's been debunked. Yeah. It is not extracellular volume that goes up with creatine. It is intracellular volume will increase with creatine. That's great. You want your cells to be volumized, right? That's how
especially
the muscles are going to grow.
Yeah.
But you're not going to get this flabby look. So if that's what you're thinking, you can stop thinking that. And the other thing that came out with creatine was, you know, challenges with kidneys. Is there kidney? It always, you know, that's always the first thing we look at. And the reality is that's also been debunked. And like Amanda said earlier, I guess I should call you Andy here.
Doesn't matter. Context.
I call you Amanda. You're Amanda to me. Yeah. So like Andy was talking about earlier, there's all these other benefits like mitochondria health. They're talking about cerebral functioning because, of course, your brain has cells too in mitochondria
and
produces
even
energy.
Skin. That's the latest health, one, right? That it's actually, I mean, if you think about it, Very similarly to hyaluronic acid, which helps pull water into the cells. And they always talk about that. I mean, that's what they use for injections mm-hmm. in women's Botox? Faces. No, that's not what Botox oh. is. Botox is like it deadens the nerve connection, or it's basically not deadens. Sorry. It kind of like puts a molecule in between the nerve and another. I don't really know how to explain this. I'm going to ask Marie.
We'll do a podcast with Marie soon.
It's not the same. A filler is the hyaluronic acid, which is naturally occurring, and it pulls water in, and that's what makes you look plump. That's why they put it in certain areas, and it plumps you up.
Interesting.
Whereas Botox like makes it so that you have no more movement in that specific spot. Anyways, but if you think about that in regards to creatine, and creatine also helps pull water into muscle cells, then it probably has a benefit from the inside out to help with just hydrating your skin and just making everything look more plump. But it's not going to make you look
be careful
flabby.
With that. Now
yeah. So I think that I think that's a really old myth. And if anybody still heard about that or believes that, hopefully most people have talked about it openly online now. But we're here to tell you again, if you've already heard it the 100th time.
And, you know, like anything, try it for yourself. See how you feel. If you know, and make sure that if you're isolating things, right? It's just because you're taking creatine and you have a bad week or something like that doesn't mean it
doesn't mean
creatine.
It doesn't work for you or something. And honestly, let's put it this way: we take it every single day.
Well, I was just gonna say, so we have a great case study. We've been taking it consistently for 5 years. So Andy mm-hmm. talked about the loading stage. The loading stage does actually make sense, but the reality is, like, it's if you. So your muscles have a threshold to store creatine, just like a threshold to store muscle glycogen or carbohydrates in your muscle for energy, right? And so the idea behind the loading phase, taking 20 grams a day for 5 days is the standard protocol for, 5 grams times 4 times a day for 5 days. The idea is that we get to that threshold faster. But the reality is, to your point, Andy, it's like most of us aren't professional athletes. Do we need to get to that threshold tomorrow?
No.
We can take the 5 grams and over time, it'll, over 30 days or so, you'll hit that threshold. And the idea with creatine is that you take it in the long run. And the ridiculous thing about creatine and caffeine is they have the best efficacy, meaning that they work the best. They have the most, they're the most well-studied for the longest amount of time. So we have a lot of data about adverse health effects and the fact that there are none or nothing material on a consistent basis. And they have the highest efficacy and they're the cheapest. The cheapest compared with BCAAs, which we can get into next, but like,
well, other than
the ones that work
that
are the cheapest.
Creatine is on a shortage right now, apparently.
Okay, well, we won't go there, but traditionally, creatine monohydrate
powder
has been. Now, it's funny going back to the GNC thing, if you go there and you get like CreaPure or some kind of brand of like complex creatine in a pill, then you're going to pay,
But honestly, I've also heard that it really, honestly, the best is creatine monohydrate. It is, and it's the one, it's the cheapest one. It's the one you'll find the most often,
safest.
Powder form. I think that adding an extra powder into your water that you're already drinking while you're working out, so you can take this, like,
we
drink it. Yeah, it's tasteless, but we drink it while we're working out. But of course, you're trying to take some sips beforehand to get a little bit in your system. But it's not so much like, oh, this is adding to this workout right this moment.
That's right, because it's in your system already. It's about keeping the stores topped up, right? We just do it because for us, it's a ritual. It's like, hey, we're going to train. We're going to have our supplements.
That's
that
how
support
you remember all of the additions, because we put quite a few things into our intro workout drink, but we'll get into
the next one are branched chain amino acids, BCAAs. Now these ones are like the most talked about, but I would say outside of pre-workout, and people have just started training, like, I had my pre, I'm like, why are you even talking about a pre? You have so much to learn, we have so much to work on together before getting into a pre. And it has that, I guess that means pre-drinking too now, I think.
Maybe I was gonna say, but I always ask, why, if a client asks, or a member asks, should I take pre-workout, or can I, or what do you think, and do you have it here, do you sell it? I always ask, why do you think you need it? And if they're always saying, like, I just need that extra bit of energy, I'm so tired in the morning, and I'm like, you need more sleep.
That's right.
You do not need fictitious version of energy that will bump you up for a little bit, but honestly, those waves are not going to be good.
Well,
you
might have a great
run.
Workout, but you're certainly not making change because you're not able to recover. And by the way, I'm a hypocrite with that right now. Well, I've been playing. Well, actually, no, I watched the U.S. Opens
today.
On right now, and I was up till 3 a.m. watching a 5.5 hour tennis match. That was the best tennis ever played. And I worked out this morning, right? So I don't always take my own advice.
I tried to tell him to stay home.
Yeah, but
he wouldn't.
In any case,
I know that I try, people. I try.
Yeah, I mean, the shopkeeper's son doesn't have any shoes. This doesn't mean I ignore my advice all the time. Sometimes I get off the rails, I have a bad day, and I usually get on the rails. But it's the people that consistently are driving, you know, caffeine and pre-workout all day long through coffees, and then trying to get their training in and not sleeping. That's where over a month, 2 months, you're going to see muscle degradation. You're going to get sick. All those things are going to happen. And that's why we see with endurance athletes, extreme endurance athletes, it's a U-shaped curve where you see a higher rate of respiratory tract infections with those who are, you know, training at that like Olympic triathlete level.
And cardiovascular issues. Their resources are low. You know, like it's like you can overtrain, and we've talked about overtraining before.
Yeah, we had a whole session on that.
You can always go back to the last episode. But honestly, it's always about finding a good balance. But in the end, you cannot outwork
bad
diet or bad recovery. Like we always say, there's those three pillars to actual health, fitness, and or results, let's say.
Yeah.
Because people are always like, yeah, I'm doing all my workouts, I'm nailing those, so like that's more than enough, right? But it's like, if you don't nail those other things down, or you don't start to make some sort of new habits and lifestyle changes, and it doesn't mean you need to do a full 180, but you have to understand that those two things are going to really impact for
sure. Well, yeah, I mean, think about it like digging a hole. I'm just imagining this in my head, and I've heard this analogy before. You're digging a hole, but you're not putting, you know what I mean? Like you're not getting anywhere. You're not putting anything back in it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know the analogy. I screwed it up, but it's fine. You guys
sleep.
Follow me. Yeah, no doubt. I should not be in the lead today. All right. So BCAAs. Okay. So we teased you with it, and we went on yet another tangent. Mm. So at least this podcast will be entertaining. So branched chain amino acids are, so some of them are leucine, alanine,
Arginine.
Thank you. And essentially what
glutamine,
the BCAA,
glycine.
Thank you very much. A lot of these are essential amino acids, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, those are the essentials. So the branched chain actually are not
four
those
of them.
Ones. Yeah, those are, yeah, you're right. Actually, I can't recall them off the top of my head.
Thank you. Yeah. the most important one in muscle building is leucine. And so why people take BCAAs is because they help us stay in that positive nitrogen balance. So at that microscopic level in the muscle, we're always breaking down and building up, right? And so by providing BCAAs, extra BCAAs, the theory is that we're going to be providing the constituents required to keep your body in a growth stage, in a kind of muscle building stage. As you break it down, there's enough resources immediately available in the muscle to build that muscle back up, and it actually has an energizing effect for muscular contractions in the workout. This is the thinking answer, the theory in layman's terms.
And
the reality
it tastes good.
And it, well, yeah, I mean, if you like sucralose, like a ton of it.
Well, it depends on the brand. We get ours with stevia, but
sure.
I mean, in any case, they're both kind of hyper sweet. So.
So this is one of those thin edge of the wedge situations where, like, yes, maybe an Olympic athlete or someone who's been training for 20 years may get a 0.5% benefit from BCAAs. Andy and I take them because we have them available to us at a very good cost. And so for us, we're like, well, the science makes sense. There's no detrimental benefits. It's affordable for us. So we'll throw it in our pre-workout. The idea is that we're always building up. We're not getting in that kind of low nitrogen balance. So we're anabolic, if you will, right? I don't even really take BCAAs too much before cardio workouts anymore. I take electrolytes, which we'll get into shortly. But, you know, we'll take BCAAs with our creatine and particularly leucine. And the thing with leucine, which is another flavorless powder that you can get from Canadian Protein from their website, is leucine is the ignition that turns on protein metabolism. And this is well known. So if you ever look at the literature around hypertrophy or muscle growth studies, they always supplement with leucine. And the
especially
reality is
for vegans, I think. No?
Well, I don't mean like in the vegan diet to sort of, you know, build muscle. I'm just talking about
in
the studies, they're always talking about measuring out leucine. They gave one group this much leucine, another group this much leucine,
right?
Because leucine is like turning the engine of the car on. And because of that, you don't need to have a ton of it. It, like creatine, there's that little threshold that you just need to hit it, and then you've turned protein metabolism on.
Yeah.
And the funny thing about BCAAs and about leucine in particular is that if I've had a protein bar, my body is already has circulating BCAAs because the whey protein and any protein chicken, eggs, pea protein, potentially, not a full amino acid profile, so I won't go there because I don't know exactly which branched chain amino acids are present or not. But the point of the story is, if I've had an animal source of protein or a protein shake or something of that nature, I've already got BCAAs. So then when I'm like, I need my BCAA, no, usually BCAAs are best taken if they're going to have some sort of an effect
and efficacy
on an empty stomach in the morning, because you, in theory, you've been fasting overnight and you haven't taken any protein in, and your nitrogen balance could be down. So as you go to lift and train, you've now provided yourself with some of those constituents to go and build muscle.
So you don't need to take BCAAs if you are a noon or evening workout person, or?
In theory, it's a waste of money.
Yeah, that makes sense. Because other than the fact that it tastes good, which honestly to me, I can't even do a full scoop of BCAAs because it is so hyper sweet. And I do like stevia. Like, I don't mind it. And I know some people really don't like it. I know the difference between sucralose and stevia. I don't like the taste of sucralose. I don't like the negative health.
Well, so it's not the BCAAs that have the flavor. It's what they sweeten it with.
No. Yes. But like, it's very hard to find BCAAs that aren't
correct.
Sweetened.
They're hyper flavorful.
Yeah. So they're always going to come. And that's why you should always look, because again, is it worth the money, or are you also ingesting things that are actually detrimental to your health, like sucralose disrupts the gut microbiome. So stevia does not, and it is a natural sweetener, although it is hyper sweet. It is your better option. So make sure you're looking for good quality ingredients if you are going to take it and you are going to spend the money on it. But honestly, I end up doing half a scoop because I find it too sweet. And that's fine. I'm usually doing it again to just, I know that it has a small marginal benefit, so I'll add it. But I actually prefer the taste of the electrolytes better.
Yeah, the other supplement we take in our workout elixir is arginine. And arginine is a cool one that we've been taking for about a year. And actually, we got into arginine when I started becoming concerned about my family's health history around cardiovascular issues on both sides. And so what arginine helps with, and why we take it, is vasodilation. So dilation of the blood vessels to allow the blood to flow a little more freely, right? Over time, as we age, depending on how we manage our health, we start to build up plaques in our blood vessels. Hopefully, we keep our blood vessels elastic through exercise and good dieting, and hopefully plaques aren't building up. But you know, the idea of having elastic, dilated blood vessels to deliver blood and oxygen to the muscles in your training is a great thing. And so that's another thing that Andy and I will throw in our shake to really support, do everything we can to support the transfusion of oxygen to and from the muscles and byproducts.
That one's really interesting too, because it's actually because of the nitric oxide. It's like a precursor to nitric oxide. Ooh, can't say that word. Which is essentially what Viagra is. So
I haven't noticed that effect in the gym.
But, and I've actually read this in another book.
That's why I haven't been coming in as much, because it has a Viagra effect.
Yeah. No,
I don't want to make anyone uncomfortable.
I definitely don't want to give the wrong impression. It does not, you know, cause erections. I'm just going to put that out there. It does not do that. But because it's a precursor to nitric oxide, it helps blood flow everywhere. So in theory, it is something that can absolutely help and stimulate if that's an area of concern. But also even in fertility, they've talked about it before, as for men, supplementing with it can be very, very beneficial. Yeah. So there's a lot of other benefits, and it's absolutely natural. It's, you know, heart healthy, blood flow, endothelial. Yeah.
Wow, we need some sleep. The reality is, though, like anything, unlike a Viagra pill where you take it and all of a sudden you have this miracle drug, it's actually over time, we're really sorry, guys. Bowie's having, as usual, the worst night ever as we're trying to do this. But basically, over time, it's creating that effect where your blood is, your blood vessels are just more responsive. They're more elastic. It's not an immediate take it once and you've, you know, solved world hunger. So, you know, with that being said, that pretty much rounds out our pre-workout drink. Now, we do change it a little bit if we are having, if we're doing a cardio workout. And when we do a cardio workout, we'll still throw creatine in there. We're not likely to throw BCAAs in there. What we're thinking about with cardio is hydration. We want to make sure that, you know, because we are going to be sweating out a ton of fluids and a ton of salt, and we need salt to facilitate the reactions in our body, the cellular reactions that drive muscular contraction and all the other great processes that we need to exercise. If you think about the electron transport chain and gradients in the body, and that's really what electrolytes are for, you know, keeping hydration and facilitating those cellular reactions, we will take electrolytes. Now, we've experimented with a lot. Andy and I, in the past, we even just threw salt and maybe some honey and some lemon in water because, yes, that sodium is an electrolyte.
Actually, my favorite combination to make it yourself is coconut water is a great place to start, but honestly, it's a little higher in natural sugar, so you don't want to drink a whole bottle of coconut water. And it really is mostly just high in potassium, so it doesn't have all the electrolytes, but it's considered a natural electrolyte in a way because of how dense it is with potassium. But if you just put in a quarter of a cup and then the rest with water and a squeeze of lime and some salt, like a couple pinches of good quality Himalayan salt or a sea salt. You're going to get the trace minerals from that as well. And it really creates your own electrolyte. And honestly, lime and coconut is really, really good together.
Yeah, no, and this is the affordable way to do it, and
but also time consuming, and you need all those ingredients. And
so the other way to do it, I mean, there's BioSteel. I mean, that's been around forever, and it's your healthier version of Gatorade. The flavor isn't as amazing. Our favorite is LMNT or Element.
Element.
It is an amazing electrolyte drink. We've just partnered with them. So yes, disclaimer: we are reselling Element in the studio. At an amazing price. That's cheaper than buying it directly off of Amazon. But this stuff's incredible. You have it. I mean, it's a hangover cure if you need that. But, you know, as when we think about hydration around drinking, but more importantly, it's going to allow you to really put your water to work, hold on to your water, not just drink it and then sweat it out. Because that's the thing. We sweat the water out, but we also sweat the electrolytes out, right? So it really allows us to maintain that homeostasis and train hard so we're not feeling that sort of dip that we can feel in a long cardio activity.
You can really think of it as like little electric circuits all over your body, and the more electrolytes you have, the more that's going to create those reactions and connectivity, and things will be communicating well, and you can actually feel the difference. You feel more energized rather than I don't know, have you ever noticed this before? And I'll speak about another anecdotal story. A friend of mine who did a challenge of drinking 4 liters of water a day on top of what you normally drink too. Don't forget, and I think people are always like, I'm horrible at drinking water. You know, your almond milk and your, you know, and fruits and vegetables have water. Like, you are getting water from other things. But there is that, you know, recommendation of trying to get 2 liters of water, 3 liters of water, depending on your body weight per day of extra. But you have to remember, if this is purified water, which is actually kind of just distilled, it doesn't have the minerals present anymore. Or if it's even reverse osmosis, which is what we use, which is the cleanest and purest of waters, but it actually takes out all the minerals too. And the reason we do that is because we just, you know, want to drink out of our tap as easily and efficiently as we can, but we don't want all the other junk that can be in tap water. So we always add our electrolytes back in with these types of things because we know that our water doesn't have the minerals anymore. But you can actually overdrink water. You can drink too much and become hypernatremic, where your blood volume or your salt volume in your blood goes down and you will feel lethargic. And you could actually end up swelling and holding on to more water and you look puffier. Everyone always assumes salt makes you hold on to water and makes you puffy. It doesn't always. Of course, there's always that sort of Goldilocks zone where you can have too much and you can have not. Yeah, you know, you can have not enough as well. And people can really feel like, oh, and we've actually been told for how long that salt is bad for you and that it's bad for your heart or it's bad for, you know, everyone's just like, oh, I don't salt my food. It's like, well, you absolutely should, especially
if the hamburger helper. That's the problem.
Yeah, it's like, and we're not talking about all the sodium that's in packaged foods and things like that. That's an obscene amount of sodium in one small sitting. And it's not coupled with other minerals. It's just sodium. So if you are having mineralized salt and you're salting to taste, it's absolutely okay to salt everything that you eat at home, especially if you're cooking all of your own meals.
She even salts her desserts. It's getting a little out
of hand. I love me some salt. I mean, I like salty sweets. So, but anyways, it is possible to drink too much water and feel lethargic from that. So find the sweet spot. Don't be afraid of sodium just because you see what you'll see on the package of Element is that it's 1,000 milligrams of sodium. Now that sounds like a lot, but it actually isn't, considering how much of those minerals you're going to be losing through sweat and throughout your workout. What's up, team? It's Coach Andy here to talk about Bio Optimizers. They are a supplement company that I am an ambassador for, and the reason being is because I absolutely love their products, and that is why I contacted them to become an ambassador and not vice versa. So I only talk about products that I actually use myself and love. So I know you're going to love these. They have the best formulations of probiotics, digestive enzymes, magnesium, and more. So check out their website at www.bioptimizers.com. That's biooptimizers.com. Use code COACHANDY for 10% off their entire site.
So there's a great book around, if you're a little nervous about what we're saying around salt or it's confusing, there's a great book written in layman's terms by Dr. James Nicorino.
Nicolentino. D. Nicolentino, I think. It's D-I and then it's N something, 100%.
I think it's Nicorona.
No, it's not.
All right, follow him on Instagram. Talking, you can look it up. You can Google that.
I'll link it in the show.
Salt Fix, it's called, and it's great. And, you know, the benefits of electrolyte supplementation go far beyond even just exercise. We're talking, I already mentioned the hangover one, but more importantly, we're talking about amniotic fluid if you're pregnant. And this is a big one.
Nausea.
Around the element T that
we're like,
it's element. I don't know. It's the guys. The boys have got me saying it that way now. The
element.
Other people we listen to that also support element, which rightfully so. But yeah, anyways, moving on from this, post-workout, it's pretty simple, guys, protein. Whether it's a strength workout or a cardio workout, we always want to make sure that we've just used our muscles, we've broken tissue down. Now we want to give ourselves the fuel to build back up, right? So we will always throw, either it's a combined protein shake with peanut butter, maybe a little bit of peanut butter. I like to put a banana in mine. Andy likes to put berries in hers. Almond milk, usually. We don't use whole milk for that or anything. And, you know, if I am going to do a bit of a fast, I won't do it after strength. I'll always do it after cardio. So I might not eat right after a cardio workout. I might hold that fast for like another 3 hours or so if it's in the morning. Mm-hmm. But, you know, if I am my first meal of the day, usually after a workout, I'm trying to have something that is protein dominant.
Yeah, I mean, now we can get into the myth of getting it 30 minutes after you work out or not. Now, if you've been fasted, probably a good idea. Especially if you
haven't. Doesn't mean your muscles will fall apart, but if it's a behavior you have over years of like not eating protein within the window, it's probably better to have it sooner than later.
And if you're struggling to hit your protein targets, then it should be a better ritual to just have that protein shake directly after, even if it's literally just protein powder and nut milk or whatever you like to mix it with. Just don't mix it with water in front of me because I'll barf.
Yeah, I did that. I do that in necessity when I travel. I always forget I don't have almond milk. And when I'm in the hotel for business,
I will find a mini little grocery store and I will find the closest thing they have to a milk and I will mix it with that.
You and your concoctions. So in addition to whey protein, which Andy and I talk about a lot, we like to throw organic collagen in as well, or maybe even just glycine sometimes. The idea is we want to support the muscle growth. We also want to support the joints and the tissues that hold the muscles to the bone and to one another, and the bones to one another. Because we have to remember that we're hypertrophying and stressing all of these supporting tissues and systems as well, not just the muscles. Sometimes we can get nearsighted on that. We think only the muscle and the muscular reactions. We forget about the skeleton. We forget about all the supporting structures. So we definitely try to have our collagen and for the benefits of our skin health as well, and all the elastin.
Health. Yeah, I mean, collagen is obviously known for helping with tight or sore joints. So ligaments, joints, connective tissues all over the body, and then, of course, hair, skin, and nails is an added
benefit.
Doesn't
it also have some microbiome benefits as well, collagen, and maybe gut lining as well?
Yeah, it helps sort of increase the gut lining or the barrier so that it's a little bit thicker. I think it just kind of, they say that bone broth is really healing for, which is, will have natural collagen inside of it as well, collagen and gelatin, which is naturally really healing and soothing for the gut as well. And we don't eat the whole animal anymore. I mean, most of us are eating muscle meats.
Right.
So you're not getting a lot of collagen from anything else.
Correct.
Unless you're making those, you know, European soups and stews, or like, you know, you go visit Nonna every Sunday, maybe you're getting stuff like that. But, you know, again, it's still pretty rare. So having something like that daily, especially because as we age, collagen is reducing, I think it's 1% every year. I mean, I know that our muscle mass,
our net
also,
collagen goes down.
Oh. Yeah. So, you know, one would think the more that we can eat and consume right now, well, as we age, it's just going to help.
Well, it's interesting. You think about arthritis, which is really the wasting away of the cartilage around the joints, right? That allows safe gliding. When I was growing up in the industry, and even before that, it was, hey, you have arthritis, stop moving. Life's over. The reality is the best treatment for arthritis is movement. And now that's been debunked. And it's supporting with things like collagen. I mean, glucosamine's been talked about for years as a bit of a joint support and pain relief tool or supplement, but also getting that collagen, right? So that we're preventing and even supporting if we are getting some osteoarthritis happening.
Yeah. Turmeric's also a really great one for, you know, anti-inflammatory, but, you know, I could go on. I do want to mention this one a little bit because I find that a lot of our members still use Advil or like muscle relaxants after they have a sore day or sore workout. I've heard this a few times, and not going to lie, if this was you that told me this, I do cringe inside just a little bit, but I just do my best.
Why do you cringe, though? Let's talk about it. Let's talk about what we've learned. Let's talk about what we continue to hear and what the research is showing.
Right. So when we think about anti-inflammatories or NSAIDs, things like Tylenol and Advil, muscle relaxants, things like that, they really do deteriorate your gut lining. So when we come back to the gut and how important it is to keep that area healthy, we're not going to be absorbing our amino acids that we're taking and all this protein and trying to put it where it needs to go for repair. If our gut is leaky, which is basically
the fissures,
the thin layer, of your villi then shortens, and then food and debris just goes flying throughout and back into your bloodstream, which causes sort of an immune response, and your body starts attacking that, and just overall inflammation. And of course, your stomach is very sore, or you're having, you know, you're either on the toilet all the time or you're not going enough.
So, well, the reality is the way they got structured, she mentioned the word villi. These are organelles in cells in that line our gut. And it's a very thin layer to facilitate absorption. And these villi are folded to increase the surface area of the gut to allow for that absorption. But over time, the junctures between these cells, and this is why they call it leaky gut, opens up. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, having these NSAIDs, you know, once in a while, fine if you need to, but NSAIDs, and we won't get into it, but antibiotics is another nuclear bomb for the gut. Yeah. What they do is they wipe out the healthy, as Dr. Gundry talks about, gut buddies or bacteria environment, the bacterial environment, the healthy bacterial environment in your gut, which is so biodiverse, more than we can even imagine. The amount of species living in your gut relative to
38 trillion.
Your complexity, the DNA in your gut is just trumps the complexity we have in our own cellular DLA. So we're symbiotes, right? We work together. We're continuing to learn about this. So
there's bacteria in your gut than there are cells in your body. So I think it behooves us to pay attention to our guts.
Ooh, good use. You've been reading. Behooves. I've been meaning to use that word in my daily life. Very good. So anyhow, back to the point. When you blast these, not only are you going to be farting all the time and on the can, like Andy talked about, and have what this gross leaky gut thing, which, you know, we all battle with from time to time, but you're actually, these bacteria in your gut actually are connected to your emotional state, your ability to
really
stay lean or add body fat, to your immune function. So forget about just how your stomach feels. You're actually screwing with your immune system when you kill the environment that these gut buddies live in, right? So it's not trivial. It's not just about, well, I can afford to be on the can all day today. I just can't deal with this muscle pain. Think about what you're doing to this army of good fighters in your stomach that are intimately linked to your immune system, your body composition, your mental clarity. Like, just we keep learning. We don't fully understand it yet, but we're continuing to learn about how important this gut is. It is your second brain, and maybe we'll learn your first brain, really.
80% of the immune system is situated in your gut and within that bacteria.
Got to take care of it.
So it's huge.
It's a mission.
And you're going to hear about it more and more. Anything that you listen to, read about in the health space, they're going to talk about gut health. And it's not because it's sort of a plug word. It really is so, so important because you know.
But it's complex and we don't fully understand it all yet.
Right.
We just know how to take care of it and we know it's important to do so.
What's important to know as well is, if you have any sort of digestive issues, know that it does not need to be that way. And it is not necessarily normal. And I'm not trying to scare anybody because we all have something that we're like, oh yeah, that bothers me. Or I know this food bothers me. Or some days are better than others. And you're kind of, sometimes we just don't even think about it. I mean, do you ever really, he always hates when I mention this, do you ever look at your poop? Do you ever really analyze what's going on and what the trends are?
Everyone likes their own brand.
If you, for instance, if I've asked a client before, are you regular? They say yes. And then we talk a little bit longer and I find out that they go only every other day. I'm like, that's not regular. So, you know, you pay attention to how your body's responding to certain things. And if you have an issue, or if you have IBS, or if you have SIBO, these are
something
symptoms.
Goes down and comes right out.
These are symptoms, though. These are not diseases. These are not things that you have to live with for the rest of your life.
Right.
This is your body trying to communicate to you that something's not right.
Well,
or
said.
That, you know, there's an imbalance happening. You know, there's more bad bacteria than there is good. And you can absolutely balance those things out. And you don't need to stay away from certain foods forever. But if we do want to be able to digest our food and take out all of those usable nutrients and put them to work, we want to make sure our digestion is optimal and where it should be. So long story short.
You are not what you eat, you're what you digest.
Yes. long, very long tangent into NSAIDs really showing negative impact, especially if it's repeated use. If you're the type of person to take a few every week or even once a day, you're absolutely going to be wearing down the gut lining, and that's not going to help in the long run, especially with recovery. So the more you take it, the more you need it.
Life's about trade-offs, right? And so the only time I'll have an Advil is if I'm on vacation and we've been having a good time and I literally can't pick my head up off the table and function and do what it is that we have to do.
The worst hangover ever.
Otherwise, I don't go near them. And the antibiotics scare the crap out of me. I won't go near antibiotics. Like, we're getting way away from what we're supposed to be talking about today.
And
we don't. We don't need to go down a rabbit hole here, Andy, because we have been talking for 44 minutes. But just know that antibiotics will have the same type of impact as NSAIDs, but on steroids.
Yeah.
So those things are just, it's like putting a nuclear bomb off and desecrating your gut. Now, there are times you have to take it,
yeah,
right?
I was going
to
say, I don't want to scare anybody.
No, because we are here and we are living to 90 years and we are avoiding disease, or we're surviving bacterial infections that used to kill us because of this amazing thing that is antibiotics. But I think, and it's true, we've been using them too sparingly.
Yeah.
Every time our throat tickles,
not
we're like,
sparingly.
Oh. Sorry. We've been using them too willy-nilly,
yeah,
too freely, too liberally. And, you know, we need to check that, and we need to, you know, listen to our healthcare practitioners first and foremost, but just make sure that it really calls for using antibiotics.
Like, literally, surgery or dental work is pretty much the only things that I can think of that are absolutely necessary. And, of course, a bacterial infection they know is in your lungs, like pneumonia or something.
Of course.
But other
than
that,
trade-off.
Like,
you can rebuild your gut buddies, too. It's not over. When you light that nuclear bomb off, it's not over, but just like in the gym, we've got to do the work. We've got to do the work with prebiotic foods, you know, high fiber foods. We need to kind of re-nourish those gut bacteria, and then taking probiotics as well, good quality probiotics, right? So, you know, Andy, as we know, works with BioOptimizer. She's an ambassador for them. So we will take their P3OM probiotic every day. Another one that we're hearing about and haven't tested is Seed. We hear that this is really good. So the gents that we listen to on Mind Pump talk about Seed all the time, and they have some good stuff to say. I think this is an area where we're just going to see supplement companies getting better and better and better. And it's about finding your brands that are high quality. Usually look for Canadian and German brands. Those are the best in terms of rigorous testing. I think that's still the case. It certainly was about 10 years ago. I don't see why it would have changed, but we just have a more strict testing and regulation process around supplementation and kind of selling supplements in our country. So look for the manufacturer there, but you know, you want to get a nice probiotic in your regimen for sure.
And I know that can be overwhelming, because if you were to look at the store,
oh gosh, the fridge with everything,
the refrigerated section there, you're going to see 5 billion units, 10 billion units, 50 billion units of, and then the backs of them have like all these different strains that you don't know the difference of, and which ones do I need? Do I need more the better, or do I just need one or two really specific ones? And honestly, that was a question I could not answer for a very long time. So I think, you know, better off if you're really unsure, don't worry about spending money on supplements until, one, maybe you get like a biome test. It's a gut microbiome test. I absolutely love that test, because it's going to tell you exactly which bacteria you should be incorporating more, and it'll give you a list, which is great. That makes it so much easier. But then there are certain strands that are just known to be really beneficial, like P3OM is L. plantarum, and they only use the one strain. And they do that because it's also really good at breaking down protein, which they're really focused on, because it's harder for some of us to digest proteins, especially if it's new and you haven't been eating them frequently and your gut lining is already sort of worn down. It is going to feel like a little bit harder to digest protein in the beginning.
You know what you eat, you're what you digest.
Yeah, exactly. So because of that, they really focus on L-plantarum. It's also really good for your immune system. It actually helps ward off pathogens, or you know, it's a really, really powerful strain. So they decided to focus on that one the most. They do have other lines of ones that are mostly for leaky gut and things like that. So if you do a little bit of research, and if you think you have leaky gut, or if you know you have certain problems, you can figure out what strains are specifically for that. Even ones that are more for mood altering, they'll tell you which strains those are. So it's really, really interesting to me. And I think that it is worth understanding. But let's say you don't want to go down that road yet. Start with probiotic rich foods. So kefir, yogurt, kimchi is my favorite because it's spicy and crunchy. I can't get on board with sauerkraut because it is just too plain, but sauerkraut is one of them.
Apple cider vinegar.
Apple cider vinegar would be good.
All these things, and we're continuing to learn about the importance of mitochondria. You know, the byproducts of the reactions of the fermentation process will actually support this process. And I'm going to recommend this book for you guys just to learn about it. I'm not saying that everything in the book is going to be conclusive. Science is never conclusive. It's always evolving. But we're learning a lot about, you know, the keto diet and, you know, what was really beneficial or is beneficial in it. And what, you know, when we think about short chain or mid chain triglycerides, MCT oil, and we think about ketones and their real role, we start to learn, we're starting to see it differently, which is pretty exciting. And so anyhow, the idea is that we want to proliferate mitochondria. We want mitogenesis. We want splitting of mitochondria, having more mitochondria, because our mitochondria are what allow us to produce energy in the body at the cellular level, right? So the more of it we have, the more powerhouses we have, the more energy we can produce, the more energetic we are, the more we can accomplish in a day, the more we can distribute that energy to things like muscle building, things like performing in the gym, things like mental clarity, doing our, you know, activities of daily life, immune functionality, versus having to sparingly decide where that energy goes and then either leaving us crashed or sick, so on and so forth. So I went on a tangent there, but to Angie's point, these prebiotic foods and foods with probiotic elements to them, often fermented foods, or even like things like cooking potatoes, letting them cool.
Yeah, that one's a really cool one. Not a lot of people know that one. Cooked, then cooled potatoes will create a resistant starch, which is a prebiotic fiber, which feeds your current bacteria.
So all of this to say that this is helping, you know, number one, populate your gut with good bacteria and feed them the good fuel, but it's also helping you engage in mitogenesis or promote or support mitogenesis, which is going to provide you with more energy. So this idea of taking care of your gut, like, can't emphasize it enough. Dig in, lean into that, start reading about that, pick up a book. They're everywhere. You know, we can make some recommendations about that. I don't know if you have a favorite around the gut right now. I know that Zach Bush is a great resource, Dr. Zach Bush, around learning about the gut microbiome and carbon, the importance of carbon in the soil and the nitrates in the soil. Dig into him. Gundry's pretty good.
Bioptimizers has a book that's pretty interesting on their site, and usually they give it away for free with one of your first orders too, or you can opt in for it. And it was really, really interesting. So it's going to give you the whole spiel on when to have your supplements and how it's going to impact performance versus sleep versus this versus that. Because we do use the digestive enzymes quite often. Right. And I also like, and what I know is that if you're able to break down your food even more efficiently, you will, of course, be able to absorb more amino acids. So the idea is if you take digestive enzymes, especially with ones with high formulations of proteolytic enzymes, you will be able to have more amino acids to go right to work for repair right away. So it could increase muscle protein synthesis. It could help build muscle quicker. So I typically will take even more right after a workout, but you usually take them with meals, but especially ones with high protein, you can take 3 to 5 capsules. And usually I will kind of just put them into my smoothies as well, just so that I can get it all right in there right after a workout. And fun fact too, if you are healing from an injury, any type of injury, the more protein you're going to need, first of all, but also if you take a bunch of enzymes during that time, you will heal faster. And they have a lot of studies on that from their website to site. So you can check that out. It's really, really cool.
Cool. Moving on from the workout stuff, because I think we've given you a lot
So wait, one last thing, because the NSAID thing, we got off on a different tangent. I didn't get to talk about turmeric real quick because it's not really... it is a part of our daily routine. We do take it as one of the most powerful anti-inflammatories out there. So that is your alternative to your NSAIDs.
Yeah.
So yeah, turmeric or curcumin, you know, you can find them in most grocery stores. We've even got it from Costco before. And it's literally just the spice, which if you cook with it also helps. I usually put it into our rice cooker as well. Cook with it as much as I can. But honestly, it's a unique flavor. So you might not want to have it. It's partly. Yeah. But it's like, again, you're not like, if you look at the capsules and how much turmeric is in each capsule, I'm like, I don't think I use that much in cooking. So I think that you're still better off getting a couple encapsulated because that's probably not how much you're going to be cooking with on the daily. And it is a super powerful anti-inflammatory. They say 4 capsules
of
turmeric can replace 1 Advil.
Really?
So test it
out.
I did
not know that.
Yeah. Test it out. And obviously that coupled with fish oils, but we won't go into that tangent.
I'm going to go into fish oils. Are you? Now.
Okay. Yeah.
So we're going to get off of the workout stuff. I mean, you know, it sounds like Andy and I just, we went on for a while. It's been 53 minutes and I hope you guys like this stuff because everyone wants to know about supplements and we got pretty passionate about some of the things. But
I love talking about supplements.
Even though it's been 53 minutes, our workout formula is not that complicated. Water, electrolytes, creatine. Maybe BCAAs, but we're kind of, the jury's out on that one. But if you know, if you have some, you can get them cheaply and help, you know, sure, throw them in there with the rest. It's not going to hurt you.
Espresso, otherwise, caffeine.
Espresso with caffeine. Yep, exactly. That's basically it. It's not too complex. We don't take steroids. We don't take pre-workouts. We don't do any of that stuff, right? Now, where we do put a lot of attention is where we just went, which is talking about what are we doing in our recovery? What are we doing before meals to make sure we're extracting the good stuff out of the meal and avoiding the bad stuff? So some of the other supplements Andy has through her relationship with bio-optimizers that we play with include Blood Sugar Breakthrough, which helps us manage the blood sugar spikes that happen after having high glycemic meals. You know, we have Gluten Guardian, which is a specific enzyme that helps us deal with gluten, because even though some of us are more reactive to gluten than others, it is something that humans generally are intolerant to, even at the micro level.
Even if you don't think you feel anything from gluten
fires
at the moment, it could be wearing away your gut lining. Just like, again, Advil, you wouldn't necessarily feel the effect right away, but over time it is said that gluten can cause more issues.
It's not linear. Like, you can do good things for your gut and little bad things and they balance out and that sort of stuff, right? So I mean, like, yeah, we'll have bread every once in a while too, right? But it's about behaviors that are stacking. Are you counterbalancing, or are you stacking bad behaviors or behaviors that are challenging your body on behaviors that are challenging your body? Now, nighttime routines. Actually, before we get into nighttime routines, just talk really quickly about omega-3s and omega-6s, okay? So these are polyunsaturated fatty acids. They're essential fatty acids that we can only get through our diet. We don't create these fatty acids, and they're very, very important for the body's functionality. Now, a lot of people crap on omega-6 fatty acids, say, oh, it's responsible for all the inflammation in our body. No, that's not true. We need omega-6 fatty acids. The problem is that the Western diet is so high in linoleic acid, which is omega-6 fatty acid, and not ALA, the omega-3 fatty acid, that the ratio gets out of whack, and that's when you get an inflammatory state in the body.
Could be as much as 30 to 1, they say.
Exactly,
for the
crazy
standard American diet, which I know we don't always couple ourselves with Americans.
American diet's a good proxy for the Canadian diet.
But we're pretty close. Like, we eat fast food. We're more inclined to get Uber Eats when we're lazy.
Trans fats, all those sorts of things, and are kind of damaged omega-6s.
They cook, like, you'll have to remember, as much as food is delicious canola when you
oil
eat out, they're going to be cooking mostly with canola or soybean or soft flour. These are
seed
your
oils.
Processed, refined seed oils,
right,
and they are going to be the most pro-inflammatory.
So what we love the ratio of fatty acids, omega-3 fatty acids, in Dave Asprey's Bulletproof Krill Oil. I have never seen anything better, jam-packed with omega-3s.
Like,
it's
EPA,
expensive.
DHA combination is the most concentrated you'll see.
Yeah, and we don't have any deals with Dave, unfortunately. Yeah. He's too cool for us. And you know what?
Well, he doesn't own Bulletproof anymore.
Oh, well, I'm sure he still has a huge stake in the company and is benefiting from the profits. But the point is that, you know, Andy and I actually do invest, even though, when, you know, most people think we're nuts. Like, our financial advisor's like, okay, your grocery bill and your supplement bill is insane, but you could probably afford a more expensive car. And we're like, that doesn't matter. We care about what we're putting in our body. That's what's important to us, right? So we value that. So we get the best fish oil we can find.
And side note, you know, Justin almost had me buy a $1,300 dress to go to a black tie wedding, and I could not do it. I was like, I morally cannot do this. This is a flight somewhere, and the dress was beautiful, but it wasn't like drop dead. Oh my gosh, I'm in love with it forever. I think he was just a little bit impatient. Didn't want to dress shop anymore.
I thought you deserved it. I thought you deserved it. But I appreciate your frugalness and your prioritization.
But I literally was like, nope. Not only is it a flight somewhere, it is because, like, I just don't value those kinds of things.
So,
I would way rather spend it. And I think that investing in your health and your longevity, like, is there anything more important? Like,
not really.
Because, like, you could say, no, that's a waste of time and money. But then you get to a state you know, later on in your life where you have to spend all this money on taking care of yourself because you didn't invest in yourself right. earlier. So it just, like, for me, it's a no-brainer.
And to be clear, where we invest money in supplements are the ones that we know works, right? Now, we already talked about creatine being affordable, so that doesn't break the bank, but this fish oil is really expensive, right? Daryl's bars are really expensive, but the reason we buy Daryl's bars is because they're clean. Now, I'm taking a breather from them,
sure.
but like they're super clean, so we're willing to pay the premium for them, right? I wouldn't even say that they're more per pound. They're not even more expensive than regular protein bars.
No.
But in general, protein bars are expensive.
Compared to making something yourself, like you can do pretty much the same ingredients at home and make little protein balls with protein powder and peanut butter. It's essentially sure. what it is, with some chia seeds and flax seeds, and do your own version. Of course, it's not going to necessarily taste the same or have the same texture. So it's the convenience yeah. factor. But yeah, there's always a way to save more money on good, like making things at home.
So if I were to say, like, Justin, what are the three supplements you can't go without? It would be omega-3s. It would be, because that is, gosh, it's the most important thing. And by the way, we didn't even talk about brain and heart health and like how this thins the blood, and the omega-3 acids like will help thin your blood to a healthy level. Mm-hmm. And in fact, I think they say when you're pregnant or giving blood, you can't even have omega-3s beforehand because it has that blood thinning effect, which is a good thing.
I literally just said this to a friend of mine today. So even if you're like, if you're going in for surgery or if you're even getting aesthetic work done, like lip injections or anything where you're getting small needles where bruising can happen, mm-hmm. they say, please stop taking your fish oils for 3 to 5 days beforehand, because your blood is so thin, you can actually increase the bleeding while you're getting your work done, increase your bleeding while they're doing surgery, yeah. Which is, you know, sounds like a bad thing, but it's actually obviously
well, we
a
want
really
that
good thing.
Good lubrication. We want that. You don't want your blood to be too viscous, right? And clogging up the pipes. You want to be able to travel, you know, through those. We talked about dilation earlier, mm-hmm. right? So anyways, omega-3, protein and creatine, those would be the three, 100%, hands down. I know I can get most of the other things from food, but what
vitamin
else do we
D.
take? Oh yeah, vitamin D. I'd probably put vitamin D instead of creatine.
It's up there. Yeah, if you're going like, okay, I think there's got to be a difference between like overall performance supplements and then like well-being. General health and longevity supplements.
Yeah, good point,
like there's going to be two different categories, because yes, we do take a lot, and some people might be like, why don't you just get that all from food? And absolutely, certain things I am definitely more a fan of. Get like, I don't take multivitamins typically. I understand prenatals need to be taken for a certain amount of time beforehand, but typically I don't like taking multivitamins, because you're not necessarily, people think, oh, I'm good, I'll just take a multi. Well, you're getting too little of some things and maybe too much of others. Like every company formulates it differently.
Get tested. I mean, like, we don't have to say it again and again and again. Go see your naturopath, get tested, because just like Andy talked about with the Viome, why would you go out and buy a ton of bacterial probiotics that you don't even understand? You hope that they make it through the digestive system and actually into, you know, where they need to add value in the gut. Assuming they do you even know you have the right one? So you get your gut tested, same thing, you get your blood tested. So great story. Zinc is a great immuno and testosterone supporting supplement. Is Bowie licking her hands again?
She's licking her paw. Yeah,
stop it.
She doesn't like, does it at night.
It's a anxiety thing, or she's got a gut microbiome issue herself.
We just got her little probiotics as well, so we're testing those out. She seems to be fine, but she's a sensible stomach.
She's doing something with licking her paws. So if you guys know about that, you let us know. DM us. Anyways, it's a new behavior. So where was I?
Your top three supplements?
No, I was talking about zinc. So zinc is a great supporter of testosterone in the immune system, right? But I was actually taking too much. And zinc, if you take too much, even like 2 tablets of what you can get over the counter, you can get zinc toxicity. And that's not good. And I was like 17. I can't remember the units, but I was 17 where I should have been 15 in the high end, right? So we had to actually back off my zinc, mm-hmm. and I'm taking one every 2 days. Or if I know I'm having like oysters or mussels, I won't have zinc for days,
we
because
might
that gives
you
the week's
worth. We might not even take fish oils too. So if you really understand, you know, where you are getting your nutrients from food. And that's why I find this so fascinating. And I know not a lot of other people might, but right now I'm also trying to track micronutrients, because I'm really curious the meals that I put together, how to make them even more nutritious and balanced. And if you can lean into that and understand like what does my plate look like as far as, am I getting, you know, there's a book that I wanted to read from this nutritionist named Kelly, and she focuses on the Fab Four: protein, fats, fiber, and greens. So she said, make sure that every single one of your plates has protein, fats, fiber, and greens. And just look at your plate and say those things out. It doesn't say carbohydrates, it says fiber, which you can get that from carbohydrates, but think about veggies and other sources of
which
fiber.
Are carbs.
Yeah. But I like that rule. And now I'm also adding a probiotic, you know, rich food into that mix as well, because I just think that we can get a lot of those nutrients from our food.
And I get the benefit from that. But back to what I was saying. So zinc is one that Andy and I have traditionally taken for the reasons that I described: testosterone and immune system. So make sure you get your zinc, you get your zinc tested in your blood test, see where it's at. If it's really low, you might want to think about a zinc supplementation if that's what your naturopath recommends that you do, or your functional medicine practitioner. We take magnesium every night. We know easily, it's not even arguable at this point. It can't even be argued that the benefits of magnesium in facilitating neuromuscular reactions and kind of cell signaling, and also muscle soreness and relaxation. Thank you very much. Well, you know, if you're the type of person that's going to bed and you're jolting around the whole time, it's probably
getting cramps, Charlie horses.
You got
stuff.
It.
Yeah.
You probably have a magnesium issue, and you should probably get that tested to see where you're at. Magnesium's,
you might also just need more electrolytes in your water. You may be drinking too much water too.
Which element has magnesium in it? Funnily enough, by design, for that reason. You can overdo it on magnesium for sure. So you do want to get it tested, but you
know when you overdo it because you have loose stools the next day. So
there you go, because it can happen to you.
I usually take it the night at night because it does help with incorporating a more deep sleep. So Bioptimizers has their
everyone
form.
Who knows what they're talking about in health and wellness right now is raving about Bioptimizers magnesium breakthrough.
Yeah, because it's the only magnesium on the market that has all seven different types, because they all have different roles in the body.
You got it.
So it's really interesting.
Digestive, neuromuscular, so on and so forth.
Yeah, so
testosterone promoting, just like with the zinc.
Yeah, I've definitely noticed when I do take it, because we actually were out for a little while there and it took a while to get back on our shipment. And as soon as I started incorporating it again before bed, like way better sleep scores all over again. It's crazy. Like, and I love seeing the difference. So you can always test out how much you need to take. Like, two capsules before bed seems to be good. I know I can even take three and I don't have any problems the next day, but it really depends. If you're more stressed, like if you're going through a stressful time, if you're tired, ladies, if you're on your menstrual cycle, you need more magnesium. So there's always ebbs and flows. So don't think that you only need to take one capsule of everything.
You're training,
like, really
hard
think
for
about
recovery.
Are you getting the right amount? And obviously the best way to know is to get your blood work done.
Exactly. And if you're training hard, you definitely need it. Strength training.
Yeah.
Okay. So what else do we take? We take CoQ10, which is a great antioxidant. So that's a new one. We explored when I started getting curious about heart health. CoQ10 is an amazing antioxidant. Our naturopath swears by it, so I will take one of those per day.
Also huge for fertility, if anybody's curious. It is really, they say, like, I think 600 milligrams a day up to really impact both egg and sperm health.
Our vitamin D ritual, which is super important to us for immune system, bone health, is as well. As you know, we monitor it with blood work 3 times a year because we don't want to overdo it. We don't want to underdo it. And Andy and I react differently to vitamin D supplementation. So we have to be very cognizant, not one size fits all.
Yeah.
And in the summer, we don't really supplement unless it's been a few gray days, or unless we're doing something like a wedding. We're going to be around 100 people. We're going on a plane. We'll do like a 10 drop, like super dose, or 20 drop super dose to make sure that our immune system is bumping. But otherwise, in the summer months, we're not supplementing with it. And in the winter months, we're having at least 5 IUs a day.
5,000.
Thank you.
So I have a harder time absorbing my vitamin D. Her ball's in there.
Oh boy, this dog. You have to be impressed with her intelligence, though, because she knows that we're trying to focus and give you guys some information, and she's like, does not care about you guys at all.
Everybody loves her. So I have a harder time absorbing vitamin D, and you can only figure this out really unless you get your blood work done and you test it closer to, you know, so you'd have to get it tested and then do it again 2 or 3 months later to really understand what's impacting. Like, what I was taking 5,000 IUs every day, and I still was in the deficient range.
And it's a fat-soluble vitamin, right? And so you need to be mindful. The fat-soluble vitamins we need to be really
taking
thinking about
fat, taking
the
with
blood
food.
Work. Well, yeah, that and we store it over time, right? And so whereas the water-soluble ones are a little safer. I hate the word use the word safe because I don't want people freaking out about vitamin D. Most people are deficient. But the water soluble ones like vitamin C, we can be a little bit more liberal with. Mm-hmm. We can just assume that taking that 1,000 milligrams is going to be fine a day.
Yeah, I mean, and it, all in all, it's still really hard to overdose on vitamin D. You would need to be taking 50,000 units daily for months.
But just get your blood work done.
But yeah, like obviously, the only true way to know, and this is how you can save money on supplements too.
Get your
this
blood
is
work
how
done.
You know exactly what you need.
Just don't be lazy about it. I mean, like we all have, you know, I mean, look, some of us have benefits, some of us don't. And I totally honor that because I've been in many periods of my life where I haven't had benefits and it wasn't as easy for me to go get this. But let's assume that you do have benefits. I'm guaranteeing if you have a modern benefit plan, you can use your benefits to go see a naturopath. Make the effort. Like, it's worth it. Know where you're at. Know where you're starting from. You might be pleasantly surprised. Wow, my testosterone is amazing, or my inflammation is way lower than I thought. Cool. Then maybe I don't need to go ham on the turmeric. I can use it sparingly when I have a race day or, you know, a big lift or the F45 playoffs. But if I'm having a big inflammation problem, then my cortisol is probably shot way up. I'm probably low in testosterone. All these things are interlinked. My, you know, hunger hormones are probably all out of whack, encouraging me to eat. You don't know that. You're only guessing. You think, oh, I need to work out harder. I need to work out harder. I'm not losing weight fast enough. I need to work out harder. Sleep less. Do two
a
days.
Do
and,
a it,
and it's just like, no. Maybe, probably not. Let's look at what the biology is saying.
Yeah. I mean, you don't need to shoot in the dark. It's really just understand what's actually going on inside your body. You're very unique and your problem could be totally different. If you look at someone else and say, well, so-and-so is so fit and they do this every single day, and but you don't know what's going on in the background. Of course, genetics play one part of the role. They only load the gun.
Well,
they don't
fire
it. But
yeah.
We can also
Mark
overdo
Bubs.
Certain things. We can also overdo a lot of things in the wrong way without understanding, are we actually providing a benefit or are we taking away from our health? So, you know, getting to know you, your body, your biology is the best thing you can do for long-term health.
Here's the other things that we're doing. I'm going to nail three more. Okay. So we're taking Organifi greens and reds. We're probably just going to continue with the reds. We may go back. I like that Naka green drink we were having and we used to have.
Yeah.
We do try and get, like, we love the Naka greens because it's very concentrated and
a quick shot
in the morning, boom, done. We are taking reds, love the reds, a lot of polyphenols in the red mix, Organifi, a lot of beetroot extract, nitrates in there so that we're getting that vasodilation, we're getting that muscle healing effect of the beets, but just for heart health and energy really is why we take the reds. So we're going to continue with that, especially myself. MCT oils is something that I'm going to be introducing into my world again for the benefits
of... We ebb and flow with that one.
Yeah, we used to do the bulletproof thing. We don't really do that anymore. But there are some benefits to the butter and the coffee from a butyrate standpoint.
I still love it. It still tastes amazing. I just don't have the time for it all the time.
Yeah, you know, the reality is, well, we shouldn't say that because we tell people to make time. So, you know...
No, but I mean that it's a marginal difference or benefit
right.
When I am doing it. And it does take a little extra time in the morning. So it's not really like an absolute must have or anything.
Yeah. Yeah, but we're leaning back into MCTs to understand, you know, the other benefits of them. I mean, obviously, we know their energy, they can give us that bit of a buzz that you might think you're getting from sugar, but in a more sustained, healthy way. We're also learning that MCT and ketones, so MCT are going to, if you take exogenous, so orally take MCTs, then the thinking is, and the theory and the science is showing that is then going to tell the liver that it can make ketones, is going to communicate with the liver. The ketones are a signaling molecule that are going to tell your mitochondria to divide, and over time, mitogenesis will lead to better energy production. Andy and I also, on that note, take NAD Plus with Marie Gold at Super Ego Medi Spa. No, they changed the brand.
No, it's Super Ego still.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we go there, we get Trip IV once a month, we get our NAD. Or if we're doing something like if we had a race or playoffs or whatever and we wanted to pump ourselves up, NAD is life.
We're going to do a full podcast on Drip IV and NAD so we can get really into it. Mm-hmm. But essentially, it's, of course, providing energy to every cell in your body. Again, it just feeding the mitochondria.
It's accelerating and catalyzing the ATP producing processes. And we always want ATP, adenosine triphosphate. That's the body's energy currency. We want more of that stuff, right? And so NAD supports that. So Andy and I do that, and I'll get a B12 shot when I go as well, because my blood work showed me, and so this is why it's important, that I was low in B12, which shocked me because I do eat a lot of meat, a lot of red meat. So, you know, that was an opportunity for me, right? And I learned that. So I will take a B12 supplement. Andy's not taking a B12 supplement.
No, my
for
B vitamins are, my B
right.
vitamins are good.
She's got her D challenges, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. And I think with other supplements that we are incorporating are not only because like the red and the greens.
ALA I started taking as well.
Yeah, like, okay, guys, we do take a lot, and it's because I'm also reading a book right now called Younger You. Really, really interesting. A little bit, you know, in the beginning when they're talking about DNA methylation and how all that works in the body, I still find it super interesting, but sometimes it does go a bit over my head. But it's essentially talking about how to create a younger version of yourself from a cellular level, because obviously the way we eat, the way we train, the way we sleep, and our stress response all can have an impact on how old we actually look and feel. But we might, like, our chronological age is not the same as our biological age, and they have ways of testing that. So I find that so interesting. Mm-hmm. And they talk about certain components to foods and even herbs and other supplements that there's clear evidence that's supporting that it reduces DNA methylation or increases a methylation when they want it to be methylated. It is kind of complex. Again, Goldilocks zone.
What's a methylation?
What is a methylation? It's just how your genes are expressed. So certain genes can be turned on and turned off. So you basically have these little heads on some of the genes that are attached to your DNA strand. And they sometimes can be methylated with another molecule that is either going to turn it on or turn it off. And it really depends on how you are expressing that with just every day. There's obviously antioxidants, which are going to clean up free radicals. But if you have more free radicals and you do things that are impact, like they're going to be cleaning up those free radicals and, you know, just reducing inflammation, whatever it is, it's going to determine with whether you're going to turn a gene on or off. Now, does that happen every single day? Maybe, or maybe it's more over time. You have the potential of turning a gene on when you don't want it to be on.
Right.
So yeah, really, you know, deep stuff, but
I'm going to read that book.
Yeah. Eventually it gets into the certain compounds of foods and like rosemary, capers, eating liver and eggs. And like,
which we started doing recently as not a supplement, but liver, you know, hopefully we keep it up and it wasn't a one hit wonder. But Andy made some great chicken liver pate.
Some. It is good, guys. I had to test this out. The beef liver was too strong. Mm-hmm. Don't recommend.
Are we going to do that? Twice a month? Like, what's the plan?
They say like once a week is really good. But yeah, if you can get at least twice a month.
There's no way we're doing it once a week. Come on, let's be real.
It's going to be hard. But like, you can also make a bunch, freeze it, and you can use little cubes of it and hide it into your meatballs. Yeah. And just other ways of just adding it, incorporating it. So you're not just sitting there eating a bowl of liver pate. But yeah, just certain foods that are just so nutrient dense, like liver, guys, I know it sounds gross, and a lot of organ meats, they're the most nutrient dense foods and parts of the animal in the world. Like the amount of, you know, choline, folate, CoQ10, B12, iron, that is like the amount that is in liver, you're good for a whole week. You don't need to take a multivitamin.
Yeah, and this is the thing. If you know, if we actually do this liver thing, which I'm down for, even though I'm making none of the effort besides eating it, if we do this and we go get tested in 2 months and it's like your CoQ10, like everything is fine, like everything's great, we're going to back it off on the supplements. One, to save money, but more importantly, because, you know, we don't want to overdo it on these things. We don't want to just pee out the supplements, or we don't want to be in levels that are, you know, dangerous.
But that's why I'm so interested in learning about this right now, because I do want to figure out how we can eat the most nutritiously so that we don't take as many supplements. And I'm not saying we take so much that's replacing the food that we eat. We just also know the benefits of so many. Like we'll read one part of a book or listen to a podcast about the benefits of one, and we're like, okay, we should really take Resveratrol. Incorporated Resveratrol as much now.
Let's not be hypocritical, and let's be honest. Sometimes for the safe ones, like vitamin C, and to your point, Resveratrol, absolutely.
Yeah.
We're going to take Resveratrol again. We ran out, but we're taking it daily because of all the polyphenol benefits of it. But then, you know, when it comes to things like a vitamin D, or we do get our blood tested, we don't go willy-nilly and just start slamming things down our throat.
No,
just want you guys to understand
those ones
that.
With vitamins and minerals and other things, absolutely. But like, of course, there's ones that you cannot measure or necessarily feel, but they just, like, you know, green tea extracts and Resveratrol, they know, like, these are things that they know.
Studied.
And omega-3 fats, like, and fish oils, like, these are the things that we absolutely know create a huge impact on your health and longevity.
There's certain ones like the fish oils that you gotta take, guys.
Yeah.
Like you got to. You know, interestingly enough, I heard something about organic foods that I hadn't thought of before. I was reading today, and it was talking about how beyond the whole pesticide thing, because organic foods have had to thrive and develop their own I know that there's organic ways of farming from a pesticide standpoint.
Yeah.
But that being said, because they've had to thrive on their own goodwill, if you will, they are richer in polyphenols because these are some of the mechanisms. So just like mitogenesis, the mitochondria of the plant is the chlorophyll. right? Yeah. That's how they capture sunlight through photosynthesis, thrive and multiply. And they have to, through dividing their chlorophyll, just like mitogenesis, you know, these plants that are organic have a harder go. And because they have a harder go, they're richer in nutrients that are beneficial to us. So that's another reason why organic food. So one of the things we're learning as we look on Netflix, as we read books, as we kind of just pay attention to what's happening in the world, we know that our soils are becoming more arid. They're becoming less nutrient rich.
Yeah.
And there is regenerative farming that's sort of turning this over, which we got to figure out how to get lean into, myself and Andy, a little bit more. And we implore you guys to do the same.
But I have been doing some research, but if you have any recommendations, please let us know.
So we're going to get on that. But I guess what I'm trying to say here is that one of the benefits of organic farming is that it's usually from nutrient rich soil more than, you know, not always. And mm-hmm. you can argue with me on this. I'm not the expert, but the reality is it's getting more difficult to find, to get the same nutrient quality out of organic and even non-organic or non-organic and even organic foods than it was 10, 15, 20, 30 years ago because of the condition of the soil and the mass farming process. So this regenerative farming piece, I think, is going to be one of the most important aspects of our world, just like with water. Mm-hmm. That's a whole nother issue, and energy, a whole nother issue. But these are going to become the biggest issues in our world over the next 20 years.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's why they know for a fact, and why the my first nutrition course I ever took, it was a 1-year correspondence, and we had all these different speakers come in. Quiet, Bowie. It's okay. Sorry, guys. We had all these different speakers come in talking about different diets and different ways of eating and healthy living and the research to support one over the other. They really wanted us to understand and know that they all have a place, or they all have a lot of similarities. And some of the biggest similarities I noticed was that they all talked about the deficiency of magnesium, vitamin D, and omega-3s in our diet. So those were the three big ones that I heard probably the most over the last 10 years. Mm-hmm. And it's not getting any quieter.
Well, that's protein is the big one too now. Again, Andy and I talk about this every podcast. We can't not do it. But, you know, we know it to be true. We see it in our members. We hear members talk about the difficulty of getting protein. Every trusted resource that Andy and I go to for our learning and education says the same thing. We don't have an issue of eating too much protein. Most people aren't getting the amount they require for performance and just beneficial muscle growth and immune system function and peptide hormone function and skin cell production, so on and so forth. So, you know, I'd add that to your list. But my goodness, it's been an hour and 20 minutes. It's been an 80-minute session because obviously this is something that's really important and that we care about personally.
Very passionate about this stuff. But
so I hope that you guys got some value out of this. I hope we answered some of the questions you're curious about our regimen, why we take certain things, why we don't believe in some other things. Mm-hmm. This is always a dance that we're playing. We're learning about ourselves, our biology, and efficacy of these supplements. Mm-hmm. You know, look at your blood. See how you're feeling. Like Andy talked about with magnesium, she's having better sleep because she uses an Oura ring and she monitors that. I'm mm-hmm. really excited to do that myself because I've never actually paid attention to, you know, supplementing magnesium up and down and seeing how that impacts my deep sleep. So can't wait to get my new Oura ring to do that. But you know, you got to anecdotally data from a data standpoint, from a blood standpoint, you got to kind of learn, apply, learn. It's a feedback loop with this stuff.
Yeah. And just figure out if you, whatever your ailment is there a natural solution to it? Is there supplementation that can improve your overall performance, quality of life, anything like that? Think about that first and foremost before you reach for a pre-workout, or you don't really focus on sleep, or
pre-workout should be the last dollar like you ever spend on supplement. Like don't
or,
do it, guys.
Or a doctor recommends a medication. You know, I always just think that there's definitely a natural route to go first. I'm not saying that modern medicine isn't important. Of course, absolutely, it has its place. But again, more often than not, they're treating a symptom. They're not actually looking at the underlying causes.
It's retroactive, oftentimes. So, and it's just a scale challenge, really, in our country. It's not a willingness or like an intention challenge. There's scopes. Everyone has their scope. And, you know, we're imploring you guys to get there before you know you have a problem.
Yeah.
Don't wait till you know, you've got an issue. Go get your blood tested. Understand your inflammatory level. Understand, you know, the health of your heart. You know, understand what else, your testosterone level, right?
Mm-hmm. Like hormones in general, not everything. Just testosterone.
Yeah, yeah. Look at your Apple Watch. What's your heart rate data telling you? What's your VO2 max data telling you? Is it perfect? No, but these are all indicators that we can piece together to put the story. I mean, that's so cool, guys,
that we know all this stuff about our bodies. Like, they never had this much information. Like, we have the power to really move the needle in any direction that we want to if we really pay attention. We've never been able to know this much about our biology before. So really take advantage of it. There's so many cool things like Viome, like DNA Fit. Those are great test kits that you can do and learn a ton about your genes and your gut microbiome. Like, crazy. It's
just
so
get
cool.
Get interested, right? That's what we get always say. It's our slogan. Yeah. Get
now,
interested.
Now, the two books we talked about, just to summarize, we both talked about books that we're reading
right
now. Yeah,
I got a few more. I'm so glad you brought that back up because I was actually going to say, let's finish with book recommendations. So I will start with a few book recommendations and then, you know, fill in the gaps with what you're reading and everything and what you think these guys need. So I'm going to give you three. And two are from my man, Mark Bubbs, who's an amazing naturopath who works with Olympic basketball athletes. So his books are Peak and Peak 40. And why I love these books, if you listen to Mark's his podcast, which is the Dr. Mark Bubbs Performance Podcast, he interviews the cutting edge researchers that are looking at all the stuff that we're talking about. It is a little heavy in the science, but anyways, these books are layman's terms and they talk about nutrition, training, recovery, and how to incorporate like actual tactics and the science behind why the tactics work and how to apply them for living a healthy, well-balanced life. And then Peak 40 for the gentleman is specifically geared toward gentlemen, I think ladies as well. I don't think it's just men, but it's about life after 40. And I know that looks a little different for men and women. So I believe it's just the knowledge is escaping me. I think it's more geared toward gents, but I could be wrong. But the reality is it's about aging well and applying the newest science to how to, like Andy talked about, with methylation and kind of having a younger biological age than your chronological age. What are some of the strategies that you can implement? And then the third one is the salt fix I talked about. So it's called The Salt Fix. I think his name is Dr. James Nicorono.
No,
I'm going to look it up while
not.
You're giving your recommendations.
It's definitely not. It's D. Nicolantino, but D, something like that. That one is a great one because I find that's, you know, when we think about everything that's been demonized in the past.
Oh, you're so right.
I know I'm right.
I have no problem like saying that, guys. That's what makes me different. James Nicolantonio.
D.
Nicolantonio.
Yeah, he's on Instagram as well. He's got a lot of really good stuff on there as well. But when we think about things that have been demonized in the past, fat and butter and all these things have been demonized, saturated fat in general, protein's been demonized for being
still
bad
is.
For your kidneys, carbohydrates have been demonized, all of them, right? When they all get coupled into, you know, a cookie is the same as sweet potato, which it's not. So like, it's very interesting to me that everything has gone through this demonization period, but
cyclical,
very cyclical. Salt is definitely one of those too. So
eggs.
You know, yeah, eggs the for most. Sure. The cholesterol piece, like dig into this, guys.
This is your brain. This is your brain on eggs.
Nutrition, it is ever changing. But don't worry about that. Don't be like, well, it's healthy now. Is it going to be healthy in 10 years from now?
Or I'm so confused, I'm going to fall over. I don't know where to start.
I think that that to me is the reason why don't follow any extreme diet.
Well, what's the best thing you
unnatural.
Can do? Whole foods.
Yeah, whole foods.
Nailed it.
Make your food yourself. Have a well-balanced diet of what feels and fuels you the best. And don't live by super strict rules.
Extremist policies.
Because, yeah, you might find out that following that actually led. But also follow your blood work. Because maybe ketogenic diet is the best for you because
right.
of your genes.
You got it.
But it's not the best for everyone. So understand you and your biology. But know that everything at one point in time has kind of either gotten
in
ebbs
out.
And flows. But that one's a really, really interesting book. Obviously, currently right now, I'm reading Younger You by... I can't remember her name. I'll have to find the front of the book. It was Carl Feld. Oh, gosh. Okay. But Younger You. And
By Kara N. Fitzgerald. That's
Kara
an easy one.
N. Fitzgerald. I was going to say Carl Feld. I was putting the whole thing together. So I'm not finished it yet, but it is really, really interesting. You know, being that it is very common to spend. Now, remember, it's not about living as long as absolutely possible because some people are like, I don't know if I want to live that long. But it's about not having the most miserable last 16 years of your life, because they say on average, people are living with 1 to 3 diseases and issues up until their death. And that's no way to live the last years of your life. So that's one way to think about it. But it's also then, of course, about aging slower. I mean, I think we all, and to a degree, we're obsessed with looking younger, definitely on the outside, but I think also feeling younger and making sure that you're like, I want to feel as fit as I do in my 30s when I'm in my 50s and my 60s. Like, how cool would that be? And not just assume that everything goes downhill.
Well, I play tennis with one of those. She's a phenom. Yeah. And, you know, if you're listening to this, my friend, I'll see you on the court. Yeah. But no, I'm just so blown away by this woman's energy. Like, I've never really asked her how old she is. I have to assume she's in her 60s based on her children's age. But like,
yeah, she looks great.
She sprints with me on the court. Like, yeah. it's exhausting.
Those are goals, you know? Like,
and
I
people
don't
look at me and they're like, how the heck am I going to keep up with you? I can't keep up with this woman.
Yeah, exactly. So I just find that so incredibly interesting. And I would say, Kelly Levesque has a book called Body Love. And that was what I referred to before, the Fab Four. She always talks about kind of how your plate should look. She's a nutritionist. She used to study cancer and genetics, but then moved into nutrition because it's her passion. So I think that her podcast is also really, really good. If you're interested in learning a little bit more, like deeper in nutrition, is one of my favorite ones right now. And then a book recently I read was called Real Food for Pregnancy. I also find this really interesting.
We're not pregnant.
And no, we're not. But I like to do research about everything, especially beforehand. And, you know, I think that it's not a book that's just for pregnancy. It's a book for everyone, because honestly, it's really, really interesting. She does a ton of cites and studies to everything she says and the efficacy of certain nutrients and what it does in the body. Yes, for growing a human, but also these are things that everybody needs and you should know why, and also why some diets can be a little bit more detrimental and you need to pay attention to what you're doing to your health. You know, maybe a diet isn't suitable for you if you do want to live longer or feel healthier in the long run. So Real Food for Pregnancy by Lily Nichols, Dr. Lily Nichols. Really, really good read. I found it so, so interesting. So those are my picks right now.
Sweet. Well, I guess we should let you guys go. Recess is on. It's been an hour and 30 minutes of supplement passion and education. So we hope you guys enjoyed this, and we got to learn how to close these things out.
Well,
zippity doo dah.
Yeah. Follow us on Instagram, F45 Hamilton Downtown, at Live Aligned, and at the_effective. Rate this podcast, share it with people. Of course, we would be eternally grateful. So, you know, share away.
I think you have a promo code that you're going to give them from Bioptimizers in one of the advertisements that you've probably sneakishly embedded in this podcast.
I do,
right?
Yeah. I usually add it in as a little commercial, but of course, you know, you can always go on their site and use the code COACHANDY, all one word, for 10% off their entire site.
And in the studio, we are selling Element now. So it is, like I said earlier, $3 more cost effective or cheaper than you will find it on Amazon. And it's there for you in the studio. So definitely check out Element. And of course, we always have our Canadian protein products, which again are more affordable than you'll find them with shipping, ordering from the site. But we have vegan and whey protein and even coffee protein. So lots of cool stuff in the studio. So if you're a member and you're listening to this, don't hesitate to ask our trainers questions about all this good stuff.
Yeah, you can always reach out, ask us questions anytime. And also ask us what our next topic should be. So we'll put a little survey in our Linktree, and we would love to hear from you. And what our next podcast should be.
Another link
about
on Linktree. Yeah. I think, you know, some of the ones that we've been asked about are Lionheart. So we're going to dig into that, as well as like what we've been observing is where people should be focusing with their F45 training, right? Like when I'm doing a strength training workout, and even one type of strength training workout to the next, where should my mind be? Like, what should I be striving to achieve? I'm hearing that I should be lifting heavy quite a bit. I'm hearing that maybe the lengthening or lowering contraction is important. We're going to dig into that, and we're going to help you guys. We're going to give you guys some tools to make those F45 strength and cardio workouts even more effective. So that's where we're at now. But yeah, always open your ideas. Anyhow, bye.
Good afternoon, good evening, or good night.
Hey, Team Coach JB here. We have an incredible offer for you. So if you've never tried F45 before, right now, for half price, that's $30 for a full week of unlimited training, you can come down to 15 Wellington Street North and work out with Hamilton's Reader's Choice voted best fitness club in the city. That's 7 days for $30. Simply go to our website, www.f45training.ca/Hamilton Downtown/trial. and sign up for your 7-day trial now. You will not be disappointed.
What the F? 45.